Boughton led the English Symphony Orchestra in the Grand Overture No. 3 by Johann Christian Bach. I'm Gillian Martin.
1 week out of the year, WHFR Dearborn takes to the airwaves to ask for your personal vote of support through a tax-deductible financial donation to the radio station. This on-air pledge drive is called Radiothon, and it's happening right now. Pledging your support of classical music is easy. Simply call WHFR at 313-845-9842. That number again is 313-845-9842. Leave your name, your telephone number, complete address, and the amount of your pledge, and I will be happy to send you out a pledge form and an envelope for you to return your check in. Call right now and tell us that you appreciate these wonderful hours of classical music heard here on WHFR.FM. Thank you in advance for your pledge of support. We couldn't do it without you, and we are thrilled to be able to provide this beautiful classical music for you on an ongoing basis.
This is WHFR Dearborn. And now we begin our day of live broadcasting from our studios at Henry Ford Community College. Good morning. My name is Jay Koronik. How did that third syllable get in morning? Must be very, very early. Well, happy Saturday to you. Looks like it's going to be a good day, at least the first half of today. It is April the 25th, the last day of our annual pledge drive. And so, as you just heard Susan McGraw's voice asking our classical listeners to consider making a generous pledge now, we are supported. We continue broadcasting thanks to you, our loyal listeners. Henry Ford Community College gives us a small donation equal to that of other sponsored activities, and the rest is up to us, as are most things in this world. My name is Jay Koronik. I'm station advisor here and also the host of another news and talk show besides the Saturday Forum shows that you might already expect to be here. My show is called the WHFR Journal. It's on Fridays from 1 to 2 o'clock, and I have two special guests in the studio with me today, and this is what they call the mic check time, folks. In order to talk about our pledge drive, we have invited two of our forum show hosts to be here live with us today to talk more about their shows. And we're going to play samples of all three of the shows. If it's the first time you've tuned in to WHFR, you might want to especially pay attention to the examples of the three shows that we locally produce on a variety of topics that you won't hear probably anywhere else on your dial in Detroit. And let me just see if their mics are on. First of all, David Twitchell is with us, who hosts We Are Not Alone on the first Saturday of each month at this time from 10 to 11 a.m. Good morning, David. How are you today?
Good morning, Jay. And how are you?
I found your microphone, and that's the important thing, yes. I'm doing fine. Thank you. Except for the extra syllables in the words that I'm speaking right now.
To be expected.
I guess. And we'll talk about your show in just a minute. And Netta Pinkingen is with us. Also, like myself, not necessarily a morning person.
Absolutely.
But, well, okay, we didn't hear that, Ned. So,
Give us a chance to... Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Okay, it's a cell phone ad time. Yes, you're fine. So what we're going to do is first of all, describe how and why this hour came about. The Journal show on Friday, first of all, is there because the Federal Communications Commission and our staff and management here at WHFR feel that we should do a public affairs show that is based on specifically the news and the events of Dearborn, especially government and education news. And that's why we do the Friday show. There's a little bit of a federal government requirement for that, and we take it very seriously. But in addition, there are topics of interest, we think, to the community that are not being covered as well as they should on commercial media. And there's a variety of reasons for that, primarily because... because of our format being non-commercial, we just want to do programming that we think will be of value to you that is different from what you hear on commercial stations. And the other stations, therefore, you know, have made various choices in terms of their profit lines, not to do that. So let's talk first of all with Dave Twitchell, who is here live in the studio, about his show. We are not alone, and certainly we're not alone here at WHFR with all of our loyal listeners. They're getting ready right now to dial the phone and pledge, Dave, and that magic number is?
That magic number is area code 313-845-9676. Or if you're outside the Dearborn area, you can call 1-800-585-4322 and extension 9676.
That's 313-845-9676. And we're in the live studio here. In fact, Tom, who is our DJ in Saturday mornings for the music show that comes up every Saturday morning at 11, The Lost Highway, is standing by also to take your call, so you don't have to wait until we stop talking. He will respond and take your pledge. We have all kinds of pledge incentives that we'll talk a little bit about more later, but for $30 or more, we've got a lot of things that really don't cost us money. We found people to donate things that is really cool. Well, back to our reason for being here. How did you decide to do your show, We Are Not Alone, on WHFR's forum? How did you come up with the thought, the concept, in 5 minutes or less?
In 5 minutes or less. Well, in 2001, I started the TV show, We Are Not Alone, on Comcast Cable. And I've been doing that show. I still do the TV show. It's been going now for 8 years. Mm. And I met you, Jay, and you invited me as a guest on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just off the top of my head, I said, what do you think about WHFR doing a radio show of We Are Not Alone?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, sure. And here I am.
Well, I've been as a station advisor here since things began on the air in 85. I knew that, you know, of course, music programming is not the only kind of programming there is. Radio drama is a little difficult to produce, and, you know, have to be good actors and so on. All it's very exciting, too. It takes a lot of post-production, but radio talk seems to be something that's easy. In fact, getting the guest, as both Ned and David know who are here in the studio, getting the guests lined up and working out their backgrounds and the right questions for extended interviews, sometimes 45 minutes or maybe the whole hour, right, is really a lot of work, and you have to do your research, and sometimes there's problems, and you have to get into what's called editing. You have to, one way or the other, find out you know, what you really want to keep for that really good hour. So since we're rotating your show and the other forum shows about once a month right now, it's gives you a little more production time, but that's not always easy to get those guests together. It is a little bit easier, unlike your TV show. You don't have to, you know, dress up necessarily for radio. And although both my fellow co-host here are really, really natty this morning. Ned is wearing a Genius at Work t-shirt. And although David and I are in WHFR shirts, we're all loyal to the cause. That's okay. Don't you have a t-shirt, Ned? We'll
Absolutely.
Get you one.
Absolutely, three.
Oh. Okay. We'll get you one. It's only important when they can really see us.
My latest one is pink. The rest of you guys didn't want pink.
Oh, I see. Well, I got to take a look at that one. Our pledge drive phone number is 313-244. That's my phone number. Wait a minute. Don't call me on my cell. No, it's 313-845-6564. That's what it is. 313. Wait a minute. That's not it.
That's not it.
That's not it either. Where did I get that number from?
Well,
it's 313.
845.
Let's try again, folks. If you're not confused already, maybe you better get a pencil. 313-845-9676.
There you go.
9676. Option one, or extension one, if you will, right here in the studio. And we'll tell you about all the different pledge levels and all the great stuff we have to bribe you. I mean, to thank you for your play. And a lot of people, God bless our listeners, who have come to our aid in these difficult economic times with costs going up everywhere, they have actually Wanted nothing. Wanted nothing. Yeah.
Keep the gift.
But you don't have to do that. We got this stuff sitting here. You know, it's taking up space and didn't cost us anything, or very, very little, in fact. And so we'd love to share it with you, thanks to some of our donors that are doing this. Well, we're going to play a sample of Dave's show, but just explain. We are not alone. I mean, conceptually, of course, no man is an island. Specifically, what are the topics you cover, though?
It is a pro UFO show. And yeah, we always go in with the X-Files theme. Makes us silly, but it is not silly. I mean, I take it very seriously. I had a sighting personally in 1962 when I was 14 years old. So you guys do the math out there. I have been studying this phenomenon ever since. And take it very seriously, and they're, you know, people get this idea that all these UFO people are wearing tinfoil hats and what have you, and running around like crazy people. But you'd be surprised. There are a lot of PhDs, and in fact, the clip I've got today was Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, has 10 years ago, he came out and said, yeah, we're not alone. I have it on good authority. I've been briefed that Roswell was a real incident, and we have been visited. And just recently, he went on a Kerrang radio in England, and Nick Margerson was the DJ, and Margerson was shocked to hear Edgar Mitchell announced that we are not alone in the universe. We have been visited. And that made news all over the world. And I contacted Mr. Margerson, and he gave me permission to re-air the clip with Edgar Mitchell. I played it on one of my shows, and I've got part of that clip right here, right now. So.
The phone number for our Radiothon 2009, we really need your pledge of support, folks, for all the work that our all volunteers do. You know, David and Ned and Tom are all unpaid volunteers, and myself and a couple of others get a small stipend from the college as teachers, as teacher advisors and so on. And we're not raising money for us, folks. That's not the issue. We're raising money for the basic supplies and repairs and fees that we have to pay as a station. And it is substantial. It is tens of thousands of dollars a year, believe it or not. And yet we're one of the cheapest stations in terms of budget. We're running at a lower budget than any other college station that is 24/7 that I know of. And that's thanks to the high quality of our volunteers like Ned and Dave, who are in the studio right now. I just want to say one other thing about We Are Not Alone, and that is he said pro-UFO, and that means Dave really does believe, as do many others, that unidentified things are in our skies and sometimes under our waters, too, and that they need to be identified. They need to be studied and thought of, and for a variety of reasons we don't have time to go into now, the typical commercial news media doesn't give them coverage. Or they toss them off as a joke without doing further research. It is, as David knows, there's so many sightings in Michigan each year, a couple of dozen at least, and I think it's on the increase in the last couple of years, that we really need to find out what this is. There's so many things we need to discover, but this could be, for many reasons, a monumental discovery. And it could be very important, even if it's merely some sort of plasma phenomena. Maybe we can use that and go through time ourselves, or fly to other solar systems, or power our cars without gasoline. If we can figure out what is behind this, it could be amazing science. This could be something we can latch on to outside of the lab that we can discover. I mean, that's for those people out there that don't believe in extraterrestrials that are here already. Although, let me tell you, there's a lot of interesting evidence to that. So here's a sample coming up right now of Dave Twitchell's show from back was this?
This was a few months ago. I don't remember the exact date, this is the voices of Nick Margerson in England, and the sixth man to walk on the moon, Dr. Edgar Mitchell.
Supporting WHFR. Please give us a call now, 313-845-9676, option one. I got that right this time.
Do you believe in life on other planets?
Oh, yes. There's not much question at all. But there's life throughout the universe. We're not alone in the universe at all.
You're convinced that we're not alone in the universe?
Oh, I know for sure we're not alone in the universe. Now, have we been able to identify for sure where the other planets are? No, we have not. Certainly not in our solar system. But they've identified quite a number of planets now that very likely could be life-bearing planets. And I happen to be privileged enough to have be in on the fact that we have been visited on this planet. And the UFO phenomenon is real, although it's been covered up by our governments for quite a long time.
Whoa! Hang on a minute. Well, this is big. This is quite a shock to me.
Well, I'm sorry. You haven't been reading the papers recently. It's starting to open up quite a bit.
So you're telling me... Well, there's a lot of information to take on board. Hang on a minute. I mean, listen, I've heard, like, you know, crazy UFO nuts tell me this kind of thing before. I've never had Dr. Ed Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, a respected scientist in his own right, announce to me that we've been visited by aliens from other planets and that they definitely are out there. There's no debating it.
Well, that's the first time you've ever talked to me, or I've told you about it before.
So you believe the whole deal?
There's more nonsense out there about this than there is real knowledge, but it is a real phenomenon, and there's quite a few of us. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 60 years or so, but slowly it leaks out, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. I happen to have grown up in whether you know this place, Roswell, New Mexico, where presumably the Roswell incident of 1947 took place, and I'm quite knowledgeable of the lore there, and since I grew up there. But I've also been in military circles and intelligence circles that knows beneath the surface of what has been public knowledge. That yes, we have been visited.
So, and be serious. You're not going to go. You know, I was just pulling your leg about that. It's not true. I'm just wondering if I've stumbled upon astronaut humor. And in a couple of minutes, you're going to go, I wasn't he pulling your leg?
No, I won't say that.
Wow. So you've been briefed on the fact that there are we've been visited.
Well, I haven't. Briefed is one word for it. I have been involved in much of this work. Now, it's not my main work. It's not my main interest. But I have been deeply involved in certain committees and certain research programs with very credible scientists and very intelligence people that do know the real inside story. And I am not hesitant to talk about it.
What is the real inside story?
Well, I've just been telling you. We have been visiting.
Are we in regular contact, or was it a one-off crash, or...?
Well, no, there's quite a bit of contact going on. I can't tell you, because I don't know all the extent of it. I don't know all the inside details, because that isn't my really main interest. But the fact that we have been visited, the Roswell crash was real, and a number of other contacts have been real and ongoing, is pretty well known to those of us who have been briefed and been close to the subject matter.
So why is it being covered up then? Why is it that it's not mainstream?
Well, the reason for that goes back to the main instance really started taking place after World War II, when in the United States, at least, I can't speak for the European governments or the South American governments, all of whom have recently started opening their files, and it's been open. This is starting to open up, and just read the internet or look at some of the press, international press. You'll start to get the stories that are coming out now.
But I've had people on the show telling me that that the governments are mounting up towards disclosure, towards saying that this is the case. Do you think it will be the case that there will be an actual disclosure on this, maybe this year, that the governments
will come
out?
I don't know whether it will be this year in the United States, but certainly we've already had it in the last few years from the Belgian government, the French government, the Brazilian government, the Mexican government. They've opened their files and admitted that they had the files.
Wow, David, that's the fantastic British accent you do.
You like that, huh?
Yeah. That's astronaut Edgar Mitchell. And what Dave is, I should mention that Dave does look for interviews in other media. Sometimes I know when you meet some of these people at conferences on these topics that you do videotapes. And I don't know, I suspect maybe you grab some of the audio off the tapes, but wherever you can find them too to include in your show, you have a wide variety of sources,
right.
And it's not just live interviews either by phone or in person in the studio, and so it's really something quite different every week. And of course, Edgar Mitchell is still around. He was in the news this week, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He spoke in Washington at the X conference, and he's asking President Obama to release their UFO files, follow suit with many other countries who have pretty much admitted we are not alone. And a couple of senators have also asked Obama to do the same thing.
Yeah, and so we know that Dave Twitchell is going to be on top of this every month, and we are not alone. Dave has written a couple of books. He is a professional field investigator for Michigan MUFON. That's a Mutual UFO Network, an international organization based here in the U.S. that is made up of professionals who are doing the best they can to scientifically investigate these phenomena, since our government is at least anyway pretending that there's nothing there and that they're not keeping any records or investigating, which is, of course, hyper exaggeration, as we found out from many sources. But nonetheless, MUFON is keeping the topic public and is doing the best they can to seriously investigate these things. And so here on WHFR, unique programming you can't get anywhere else on the dial. Wanted to give our listeners for Radiothon 2009 special edition here sort of highlights the show for our forum, our WHFR forum on Saturdays from 10 to 11. First of all, that phone number, magic phone number that we need you to make magic here, 313-845-9676, option one. We can take your pledge now. And what Ned has said people don't really care. For a $30 pledger, you can get a WHFR sport pack. That's a nylon sort of tote bag, which there's a handle. You can use it to carry groceries or whatever. Or, because there's pull cords on the side, you can just really quickly bundle it up and put it on your back like a backpack or over your shoulder as a sling. And that's free, folks, with our WHFR logo on it. Very rugged. It's even got two reflective stripes for those people that like to go out after dark. Yeah, and be seen before they're hit by a car or something on their bike or whatever. So that's a cool incentive pledge. Tom earlier was talking about our Logo Flex cooler that fits at least six cans of beverage and a lunch. Not quite big enough for a laptop, but it's blue and it's gorgeous and could be a large woman's handbag, perhaps, although it doesn't necessarily look womanish, and so men could carry it if they're going to some sports event. They can put their gym shoes and other things in there. And so that's free with a $60 pledge if you'd like it.
About two liter bottles of beverage in that thing.
I think so. We're staring at one right here in the studio, and it looks like it's big enough. If you just want it to be somewhat smaller size, it's got little clips on the side, little, it's all
you
I can say.
It
sort of shrinks it down to maybe half the height of a normal bag, but it's still about the length of a couple of pairs, one pair of gym shoes. And it would fit in even in the smaller size for it. So very, very rugged, very cool, very insulated, padded, and it's real cool. David's loving that right now. For a $125 pledge, a zippered Padfolio. It's a zippered notebook. It's in our blue shade.
Lion's blue, almost.
Navy blue with, I've got one in front of me. It's not the right colors, though, but you can't tell over the radio, can you? And it's got a tan trim, and it's just beautiful weight. If you go to a meeting or you have to go to your accountant after tax day, returns are not so good for you. visit the IRS. What a classy way to do that, but not too classy.
Is that what we call a folio?
It's a zippered pad folio because it fits a pad. It's got actually comes with a writing pad 8.5 by 11. Yes. So we're modeling those right now. And you, if you'd like one of these items for $30 pledge or $60 or $125, they go along with our thanks and our deep thanks. 313-845-9676. You know, we get no funding from the federal government. We're not National Public Radio. We're independent, non-commercial, so we can, you might say, do what we want within the FCC rules, and we can present you these kinds of very, very special shows. Also, anyone at $30 or more gets the chance to have a year subscription to E, the environmental magazine, which is, it's free to us, and it's really a good entry-level, a very practical book for everybody about how to live a life that's cleaner and more efficient. First-time pledgers at 30 or above get a clock calculator, sort of a pocket-sized pop-up clock calculator. It's really cool. The members here at the staff that have them just really love those.
I love mine.
And last but not least, if you want to be continue to be dazzled by WHFR.
The car.
Yeah. A weekend lease of a 2010, that is 2010, Ford Fusion. Okay. They're nice. I'd call it a mid-size four-door sedan, at least mid-size, although some people think that's compact. I wouldn't necessarily call it that, but great new model and new style, and our friends at Dearborn's Village Ford are providing that, and that's for a pledge of 30 or more. You can be entered into a drawing to win that weekend lease, and so again, you have to be 21 or older, a licensed and insured driver, and so on. But those are all possibilities if you can pledge now. We'll take MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Charge. Yep. Or if you would like us to send you a pledge donation envelope that we put a stamp on ourselves, a return envelope too, that you can send back your pledge as a check or money order, we'll be happy to do that for you. So please call now, 313-845-9676, option 1. And we'll take the pledge. I want to feature right now for our news director, Susan Morrell, again, a volunteer at WHFR. She does a show. Now it's bi-monthly. It's once every other month. Oh, it is bi-monthly, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, she's producing the show called Pet Lover's Lane about pet issues. And this is a segment of her show from, let's see, it is... well, one of her recent shows. And so take a listen for a few minutes, and we'll be right back to talk about that and more about our forum program and our concept that we hope you enjoy and find fascinating for your Saturday morning. And please give us a pledge of support right now. We need the help. It's our last day of our pledge drive. We only ask once a year. 313-845-9676.
Welcome to Pet Lover's Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morrell, and Pet Lover's Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets for pet lovers and for pets. And today, for our April show, we have two very, very special guests right here with us in the studio at WHFR from Leader Dogs for the Blind. And I have to correct myself. We have four special guests in the studio because we have Melissa Weiss, who is the Chief Philanthropy Officer. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And we have Debbie Kamundi, who is the team supervisor and trainer. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you.
And also we have Harbor, who is a trainee dog, and we have Granger, who is a retiree dog, and they are all part of this wonderful, wonderful program right here in the great state of Michigan. So tell us, Melissa,
yes,
a little bit of background about Leader Dogs for the Blind.
Well, firstly, thank you so very much for having us here today. As you'll see, speaking to Debbie and I, Leader Dog is full of passionate people and passionate dogs, and we're always so appreciative of a chance to speak about our work and make our mission more known to the public at large. So thank you very much for having us.
Yes, you're welcome. I'm so glad you made it and got past the road work here on Evergreen Road.
Well, we had Leader Dogs with us, so we can make it anywhere with that.
Exactly.
Leader Dogs for the Blind is a real bright spot and a true gem, not only in Metro Detroit, but nationally. We're a 70-year-old organization that serves people who are blind all over the United States and all over the world. We're located physically in Rochester, but our reach extends so far with so many paws, so many wet noses, so many teams working together to establish greater independence and mobility for people who are blind and visually impaired. So we've been based in Rochester for 70 years, founded initially by the wonderful Lions Club's members who support us to this day. They're our largest single constituency base. Three members of Lions Clubs in the Metro Detroit area were looking to send a friend of theirs who was blind or visually impaired to learn how to work with a dog guide. He was looking for a place in one of the schools in another part of the country, couldn't find a place, so these three Lions set about forming Leader Dog. And from that day, 70 years ago, to today, we've grown into an organization that has 120 employees, a huge campus with a veterinary clinic, a chirogenic facility, a residence dormitory, really a state-of-the-art facility for people who are blind and visually impaired. And what's so very special about that story is that we are powered 100% by philanthropy. All of our donations are from individuals and people. No government support, no federal support, no United Way support. Completely philanthropy. So we're talking about a $10 million budget that comes from the goodness and generosity of people's hearts.
That's a very large budget.
Yes, it is.
And so you're encompassing the whole United States, and you actually started here right in Michigan. Is that correct?
That's right. And not only the United States, we serve people, and Debbie, you can add in here as well, in Argentina, Brazil, all over Spain, South America. We have someone here from Israel at the moment. Students from all over the world who, right now as we speak, are navigating market towns in northern Chile, rural communities in Nebraska, downtown Manhattan. All of those dogs are working locations as vastly different as that.
Can you imagine that these dogs go all over the world? Why? Because there is a need.
Absolutely.
There is a need. Demand for their service.
Yes. There is a demand for their service. And when you support Leader Dogs for the Blind, you're instantly having an impact upon someone's life. People who are blind come to us and stay with us for 26 days, and people as highly trained as Debbie provide them with a perfect match and a canine companion who'll help guide them and navigate their home communities. Wow. So we're instantly able to improve someone's life, and we do that through the donations from the general public.
Again, a sample. Sorry if you didn't catch that. It's back in February, I believe, that this actually aired, and I'll give you the exact date on this. It aired just this month. Yes, 4/11/09. And if you go to our WHFR website, whfr.fm, all the forum shows are available. We have four big buttons on the front page, first page, home page of our website, whfr.fm. One is for Listen Now Live. One is for the archive of our live music performances in our studio here on the Motor Show from Thursdays 5 to 6. And then there's the WHFR Journal Show, my weekly news show and alternative views about Dearborn and the surrounding area. And then the Forum Show this hour from 10 to 11 a.m. It is archived too. So if you wanted to hear this full Pet Lovers Lane story in an interview with the people from the Rochester Leader Dog School, you just go to WHFR.fm. You click on the Forum button, and in this case, it's by date. You have to go to 4-11-09, April 11th, 09, and you can listen to the whole hour, download it to your computer, or listen directly through our website server. And so they're all there by date. And you got to know the date. Yeah, typically Pet Lovers Lane is the second Saturday of each month. It's now, just because they're volunteers and their time scheduled and so on, it's now every other month. So sometimes I fill in if we can't locally produce a show, and it takes a lot of time, believe me. Susan Morrell puts in easily 4 or 5 hours because of the editing that she does and the music that she adds and computer editing to make it as good and as exciting a show. And she does a great pet calendar at the end, too, of events that relate to pets of one sort or another that are coming up in the local area. And this show, the 4-11-09 version of Pet Lovers Lane, talks about events in April and also in May in the surrounding area. So you might want to listen for that. So if you'd like to commend Susan Morrell and the other local volunteers that are doing this kind of alternative programming for you, by all means, call in with a pledge right now, 313-845-9676. Any amount that makes you feel good of supporting an independent non-commercial station would be much appreciated. Believe me, 313-845-9676. Option one, live studio is where we are. And Tom is on the phone, and we're going to move to, because he's in the studio, well, I want to play some public service announcements. It's halfway through the hour. Let's keep some sort of format here. This is just a summary about Radiothon 2009 coming to an end, and our big event tonight, our Great Blues Benefit Concert to benefit ourselves.
Place Lounge, yeah, Dearborn.
Take a listen.
For over 23 years, WHFR has been dedicated to being a voice of fresh local alternative programming here in the Dearborn, Detroit area and on the web at WHFR.fm. We are committed to the mission of playing local and independent music for your enjoyment and for presenting a range of talk show topics that you won't hear elsewhere. That's our ongoing pledge to you, real local alternative programming that you will not find anywhere else on the Detroit radio dial. 1 week out of the year, WHFR asks for something in return, your pledge of financial support during our annual on-air drive called Radiothon. This year, Radiothon takes place from Sunday, April 19th through Saturday, April 25th. This is the only time that we will interrupt our programming to ask for your help. We've got some brand new WHFR logo incentive items for you to enjoy with your donation. Great benefit music concerts and some special on-air surprises as well. So be sure to tune in and to call 313-845-9676 with your pledge during Radiothon 2009. From all of the staff here at WHFR, thank you for your support.
WHFR's Radiothon 2009 Blues Concert will take place on Saturday, April 25th at the New Place Lounge, Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn, and we hope that you will be there. Our benefit will feature the live blues music of Robert Penn. Cece Collins and Soul Purpose.
No. You see, I like Chicago, but I got to get back to Detroit.
And David Gerald and Insurrection.
Hey, baby, can I tell you?
Only a $5 donation at the door lets you in, and food and beverages will be available for purchase. 21 and over, please. That's Saturday, April 25th, starting at 9 p.m. at the New Place Lounge on Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn. Please join us for a night of great blues music and support WHFR, independent radio since 1985.
We're back with our Radiothon 2009 edition of Forum Show. It's our pledge drive time, and we need your donations at 313-845-9676. We're going to talk now live in the studio to Ned Apigian, who his show Then and Now is featured on the fourth Saturday of each month. Ned, tell us about the concept of Then and Now. Almost, you can almost figure it out from the title, but describe the nature of the show.
Oh, we don't want to get into the history of how I got started at this like we did with Dave.
Well, sure. Well, on this topic.
Yeah.
On this topic, sure. But tell us what the topic is first.
Oh, Then and Now is... briefly, how history affects current events. As you're listening to the news and wondering, what's the matter with those people? Why can't they get along? And what's the big issue anyway? So if we discuss with primarily university college historians about issues that happened in the past, it makes the current issues a little bit more lucid. So that's the idea.
And how did it start for you? How did you get the idea of doing the show?
For me, I produced and sponsored my own radio show for about 5 years, of which I did something, I told stories to music, which was a great deal in terms of producing. Something along the idea, if you remember, Mike Worf from WJR used to do a show like that. Mm-hmm. And then I did that for 5 years, and it was something I paid for myself and found sponsorship. And it had more of an ethnic bent than this program does. It's not an ethnic bent. And then I went to Saudi Arabia to work, so I had to give up the radio program. And then because I was running for office, one day Susan called me because the journal show, you interview candidates, and and you guys interviewed me on your show.
Yeah, at no charge.
At no charge.
Yeah.
And
just kidding.
And in the conversation, I happened to mention to Jay that I used to do a radio show, and one thing led to another. I promised to see him. I never got around to doing it until one day I got a letter in my home for the art department near your office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I decided to deliver the letter to the right person, and as I was walking down the aisle, your name was on a door, and I said, you know what, I never called him. I should stop by, and I left a note.
Yeah.
And that's how it all began.
Well,
About three years ago. Is my
guess. We get many volunteers from the community who are not students or maybe never have been students here at Henry Ford Community
College. I'm an
alumni. But you're actually an alumni. You were here for your basic education.
Right. I have two associate's degrees, one in liberal arts and one in science.
Wow. That's so cool.
So that's why I was familiar. I started out when it was at the Miller School. You remember the Miller Elementary?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, I was
too young
to remember that. But I do remember. But I just wanted to mention is that people that are on the staff are all ages. And we say students and alumni, but in fact, obviously you can be a student at any age here at Henry Ford Community College.
Absolutely.
And we have enrichment classes in the Center for Lifelong Learning branch, sort of an adult ed branch to the college. And that's, I think that's probably how you took the class, although it's the same sort of tuition charge either way.
When I took the class, it was cheaper because of that. Lifelong learning or something?
Right. It's a little couple dollars less because you don't have to go through the enrollment fee in any semester. And so if it's just the WHFR staff training class, which is 8 weeks long, 2 hours a week, taught by myself and my colleagues in management here at WHFR, and it gets you ready to learn how to be a DJ or how to be a talk show host or how to help behind the scenes to keep this all going. Again, our pledge drive phone number this morning, please, please, we need your pledge. It's the only time we're going to intrude once a year. It's essential that we pay for the basic cost of equipment repair, licensing fees, and I'm talking about copyright royalty fees. We don't pay any fee to the FCC once we have our license here. Thank you, FCC. There's, for a non-commercial station, there's no additional charge for light, but to license the music that we play, we pay significantly to pay for the Classical 24 service that comes via satellite. We pay, including the Public Radio International membership, over $14,000 a year. And we've lost some underwriting support for some businesses in Dearborn who are no longer in Dearborn. That's very sad. So we have a lot of money we still need in order to keep going the way we are. And you can't get this anywhere else in your dial, whether it's the forum shows or the alternative music that we play. And you need to help us continue that tradition to give you the widest range of choices in your life and the widest range of ideas to think about. So I'm going to feature a few moments of Ned Apigian's Then and Now show from February, from 2/28/09. If you want to, of course, catch all of it, you can go to our website. So here's a sample of Then and Now, and I refer to it as intellectual history. He's got some great, great guests there. Let's take a listen.
Good morning. You are listening to Then and Now, presented on WHFR Dearborn from 10 to 11 a.m. in the fourth Saturday of every month as a part of the WHFR Forum, our weekly talk show format. Then and Now is a pre-recorded program on WHFR at 89.3 FM, Making Waves, that primarily deals with how history affects current events. And now to our host, Ned Apigian, with today's program. Ned?
Thank you, Melissa. Well, our guest for today's program is Viken Chaterian, who is a Geneva-based researcher working at Samara, a Swiss think tank. He holds a PhD from the Graduate Institute of Geneva. He has worked as a correspondent in the Middle East and later in the Caucasus, Central Asia, Russia, and the Ukraine, reporting for legal European papers. Leading European papers. His research interests include conflicts, peace building, nationalism, transition, and democratization, as well as environmental and security. In Yerevan, Armenia, which he directed from 2002 to 2005. Viken Chaterian's latest book, entitled War and Peace in the Caucasus, Russia's Troubled Frontier, was published by Hearst in Britain in 2008 and will appear in the U.S. early in 2009 from Columbia University Press. Copies of the book will be available for sale, and the author will be signing copies following his many lectures. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Caucasus was wrecked by ethnic and separatist violence as the peoples of the region struggled for often conflicting claims of self-determination. Viken Chaterian, who spent many years as a reporter and analyst in the region, will discuss the emergence of nationalism as a dominant political force in the area. He will also address the causes of the fighting in Nagorno-Karabakh, Abkhazia, and Chechnya, as well as the August War of 2008 in Georgia, various diplomatic attempts over the years, and their failures to achieve peace in these conflicts will be covered today as well. Viken, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me here.
Pleasure arranging to have your flight from Geneva actually land in a snowstorm today, and you're here on time. Well, we're going to begin. The essence of today's program is following the First World War and the disillusionment of three very prominent empires that had within its borders several minorities. And, of course, these minorities are all yearning to be free and independent. We have the Austro-Hungarian Empire that fell apart and the subsequent creation of Yugoslavia, which means the Southern Slavs, and the creation after World War I of all the various states from Czechoslovakia. And now we have the Czechs and the Slovaks dividing and the creation of Yugoslavia. We have Slovenes, Slovaks, Bosnians, who, as I understand it, are just Muslims of the same people. They all speak the same Serbo-Croatian language. We have Croatians and, of course, Serbians, Albanians, Macedonians, and their similarities. Viken is going to try to make some sense out of all of that. So when you hear about these conflicts in Kosovo and who are the Kosovars and what happened in the 15th century when the Turkish army came and occupied that part of the world and subsequently Islamized these very tall, blue-eyed, blonde people that people don't figure in Europe could be Muslims. And then we're going to go from there to the Caucasus with the disillusionment of the Turkish Ottoman Empire and the establishment of the state of Turkey and subsequently the establishment of the state of Georgia and Armenia and Azerbaijan, which comes out of the disillusionment of the Russian Tsarist Empire. So these things are kind of all connected, and you see the problems of them today, and Viken's going to make sense out of these. So when you hear the news program that says Armenians and Turks not getting along and Azeris, now you'll have some idea. There's a reason for it, and they usually go back at least to the turn of the century, to the First World War, but beyond that, ethnically, religiously, and culturally. Viken, welcome. I did all the talking I need to do to introduce you, what we're going to talk about, and it's up to you to lead us however you'd like to start, if you'd like to begin in Kosovo.
Yeah, thank you very much. I started working in the Caucasus region practically some weeks after the collapse of the USSR. And at the time, it was very difficult to understand what was happening. We were discovering a whole region which was completely unknown in the West. Neither Europeans nor Americans knew about the peoples and ethnic groups inhabiting the Caucasus. And we were discovering them as one conflict succeeded the other. Karabakh, Ossetia, Abkhazia, the Georgians, the
That sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? And these people really know things. Ned has great guests for his show then and now, the fourth Saturday of each month. Normally that would be today's show, but we're doing our pledge drive, and we have to get your attention and let you know, if you don't already know how special we are, we need your support. We've got to let you know that we have to have that, or we can't do the job as well. We're the alternative, truly, to commercial media for local news and local information, as well as local musicians and local music. David and Ned are in the studio. David Twitchell from We Are Not Alone, the first Saturday forum show of each month, and of course Ned from the fourth Saturday then and now. Give our listeners in just 2 minutes reasons why they should pledge and what might they get out of it.
To keep these forum shows going. Keep the forum shows going. Ned's show and my show and Mike's and Sue's. And I wanted to mention the $500 pledge. If you go that high, you get dinner for up to four people at HFCC's 5101 restaurant.
That's right.
And with a tour of WHFR studio.
Personal tour.
Personal tour.
Yeah.
You want me to?
Not just generic. No, we're going to do it up special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at $250 pledge, you can get an engraved leaf on the WHFR's family tree.
All seven rooms you get to zoom.
Oh, we're back to the
For
$500.
The tour, yeah.
Right.
You get to visit.
But, you know, it doesn't matter if you can pledge $500, $250, $50, $30. Mm-hmm. If you got $10 and you say, you know, I like the alternative programming on WHFR, just give us a call and send it along. We would really appreciate it. Once again, give us that number, Ned.
Well, that famous number, I like the simplified number, 845-9676. Most people can't hear this program in any other than 313, but that's not absolutely true.
We have listeners online all around the world.
Oh, the world. So, I forgot about the world.
They can pledge through their website, but a lot of people do have long-distance dialing, no extra charge, unlimited minutes on weekends, 313-845-9676, option one.
The other most important thing is not so much the gifts. We only receive 40% of our income for this radio program from the college. And that 40% hasn't changed in the last 10 years.
No, they haven't given us any increase for inflation or anything.
Which
we learn to operate as cheaply as we can, and we keep the cost down. We keep cutting costs every year. But at a certain point, like I was interviewing Dearborn's Mayor O'Reilly, John B. O'Reilly Jr., yesterday, and he was calling in. He and his family were in Boston just for 2 days with his son, and it was only in one channel. We got more $65 an hour fee for our professional radio engineer to figure out why we only had one channel. It decreases the volume in half, obviously, folks. So I hope you were able to hear some of that. But Mayor O'Reilly's a big supporter. He promised to send us his check of support, and he encouraged all of you listening too. Now, before the show, so that number is 313-845-9676. We're going to feature our third show, our fourth show example. It's a fourth forum show. It is on the third Saturday, typically, of each month, metaphysically speaking. And here is a segment that its host, Mike Holloway, who couldn't be with us today, he's working, selected as a sample of it. So take a listen to Metaphysically Speaking, our forum show on every third Saturday.
That you present to them?
I wouldn't say flabbergasting, but, they're there to learn. And.
Mm-hmm. But do you surprise them at all? Like, oh, wow, I didn't know that, or I mm-hmm. didn't know that you would, I guess, ascertain that about me.
Yes, very often.
Mm-hmm. Quite often?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you ever give advice? If you see something in a person's chart that might indicate serious illness or accidents or anything like that, do you tell them that, or is that something you kind of act very diplomatically about?
Oh, maybe... always act diplomatic, but they are there for help
mm-hmm.
and for understanding,
right?
And for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying me for information.
Right, and you just give it to them, right? You don't really hold back.
Anything that they need to know, that they want to know, that I see in their chart,
mm-hmm.
that would be beneficial for them, I tell them. They should know. That's why that's why I'm here, and that's why they come for help. Because there's nothing in this universe that we cannot do to help one another,
mm-hmm.
And that would not be less than beneficial mm-hmm. to those who are seeking, who ask.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to urge a person to live to the higher good of their number vibration, whatever it might be?
Yep, I certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be sort of sharp-tongued about it also.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not
mm-hmm.
paying attention, that's you let
right.
them know, right?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, the numbers don't lie, and if they're running into trouble, they'll see it eventually, hopefully anyway, correct?
Yes, but I also try to instruct them as to being able to do this themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Take a class. Mm-hmm. Or take the little card that I give them, and figure out what you need to know. And if you're not sure, call me.
Right, right. And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest this month is Joan Goldman. She's a numerologist, and that's what we're talking about, the numbers.
So if you want to hear all of the numerology show, it's, again, the show from this month, the third Saturday. And it was last Saturday, by golly. And so whatever the date that was, let's see, 25 minus 7 is 18th, there we go. Okay. And so I want to thank Ned Apigian and David Twitchell, two hosts of our forum show. We want to thank an anonymous pledger from Garden City, Michigan, for calling in.
Yay.
Thank you so much for the very generous pledge to keep the forum show going, to keep the station going. We need everyone who can possibly do it, possibly manage it, to call us today, the last day of our pledge drive, 313-845-9676, option 1. And we do appreciate it very, very much, every dollar we get from you, because we make it go as far as we can. It just goes for supplies, equipment repair, and fees that we have to pay to keep the station going, and it's always a close affair to try to balance our budget. And yes, we can't do deficit spending here like certain other entities in this world, and so we depend on you. Please consider a generous pledge. Coming up now is the Lost Highway Radiothon 2009 edition with Tom, and he'll be taking over right after these repeat of our Radiothon announcements. Thank you, Garden City person, for that pledge, and the rest of you, get on the phone and talk to Tom, and I think John B. from our Sunday shows is going to be sitting in too, answering the phone. So please consider a generous pledge right now if you haven't yet this week, 313-845-9676. And for the forum shows and all the hosts, I just want to say thank you very much for listening and for continuing to support WHFR, 313-845-9676. This is WHFR Dearborn.
5-7.
For over 23 years, WHFR has been dedicated to being a voice of fresh local alternative programming here in the Dearborn, Detroit area and on the web at WHFR.FM. We are committed to the mission of playing local and independent music for your enjoyment and for presenting a range of talk show topics that you won't hear elsewhere. That's our ongoing pledge to you. Real local alternative programming that you will not find anywhere else on the Detroit radio dial. 1 week out of the year, WHFR